to see a fancy by the Sugar family in honor of their grandchildren, their children and their grandchildren. We're in the process of talking about different cases where someone wants to collect a loan and what type of counterclaim the erstwhile borrower might have to avoid paying. Last week we talked about his defense of saying that it's written in Chinese and he didn't understand it when he was signing the document. And we said that's not so simple. We said, first of all, he's not believed to say he didn't read it or have someone read it to him. We assume if you sign something, you read it first. If the witnesses say you didn't read it or the malver admit that you didn't read it, we said in that case also you would have to pay because of, even though we said there's no such, because there's a clause that when you write something it has meaning. You have to say something to make an obligation. You can't just write it. But we said that there's this din of shalish, that when you put your trust in someone, that gives it a validity. So since he trusted the sofer over here to write what he wanted, so when he signed it, even though he didn't read it, that gives him an obligation to do whatever is written in there. However, we did say that if he was tricked, if they lied to him or made a mistake, so then he only agreed to what was told between them. The certain amount of the loan, the standard contract, anything that is put in crooked or even by mistake, he would not be bound by if he could prove that the terms written were not those that were spoken out. So the bottom line is, it does pay to watch what you're signing, but you do have a way up because there is no, there's the cost of that whatever you sign becomes like iron. If you can prove that you were misled, so then you would have a way out. Today's taina that the borrower wants to say is that this document that you're producing is 50 years old, and it's been so long since I borrowed that money, something funny's going on here. I think I might have paid it back. I forgot even the loan, and I'm not saying that you forged it, but it's so old that it just doesn't seem right that I should have to pay it now. I forgot what happened. Why, if I didn't pay you, why are you waiting 50 years to bring it out? You must be that I paid and you had it, and now you're just cleaning your attic and you found it, but I already paid you, so I don't want to have to pay. Is there any statute of limitations in halacha? That's the question. Now, before we get to old loans, it's really a dual shift. Now, we're going to talk about, suppose it's not old, but first thing we have to discuss is, suppose you weren't claimed. What happens if just you know that you borrowed $100 from a certain person? He said, "I'll come back to claim it from you in 30 days, 60 days," and he just didn't come back to you. And now he sees you at the chasana, and he didn't ask you for it, and you're embarrassed to approach him. You don't have the money that time, and it's already gone now. A year went by, and 2 years went by, and every time you see him, everything's friendly. Can you assume that the fact that he's not claiming the money from you means that he wants you to keep it, right? That's the first thing we have to tackle.
No.
So that's really a Gemara. It's based on the Gemara about Metzia in Ezon Esha. Chomer Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Haiman de Ozip Pshite Mechavre. If someone borrowed a few coins from his friend, but Ashkach Veitufaina, and when he got the money back, he found there was a little bit more money there than he had given. So if it's the amount that someone would make a mistake, it's the Gemara explains, it's something that people could make mistakes about. It's by tens or fives, they used to count like that, and something that they would make a mistake, you have to give it back, because he made a mistake. He gave him the extra money, like we learned last year at Hashavas Aveda, to give back the extra change. But if it's an amount that people wouldn't make a mistake about, so then you can assume that he gave you a present, and you don't even have to give it back. The Gemara says, what happens if he's not someone that gives presents? If he's someone who's a tough person, he doesn't give out presents, so then what right do you have to keep the extra money? So he said, maybe he had stolen something from him once, and he was too embarrassed to tell him he stole it, to give him back the money. So therefore he worked out this way, and he just included that extra money in the loan in order to pay back the money he had given. So this is halacha l'maisa, pasuk in Shulchan Aruch, Sinan Mishlan Beis, Sinan Mishlan Beis, it's pasuk that if this happens, someone gives you that money and you see it's the wrong count, so if you could attribute it to a mistake, you have to give it back. If not, you assume that he gave you a present. Now, based on this Gemara, the Shulchan Gibram on the other side of the handout says something very nogeya. First he says, Inhu omer to'isi. If he said, I made a mistake. Suppose the Malva says, I made a mistake. The Tatsu the Tusi, give me back that extra money. So then, of course, I raise a masla Tusi, I'll go upon him. No matter what, you give him back the money, even if it's an amount that we would assume normally is a mistake. But if he claims it's a mistake, so of course you have to give it back. And then he says like this. This is what's Nogeya us. It seems to me, Shamavis chaveiro. If someone lends money to his friend, Ve'eno toveya havo'aso. And he does not claim the money back. Ein halova chayiv l'sharin l'mei eilof. The lover is not obligated to return it on his own. He's not asking for it. The matona bigish litano. Since we assume that since he wasn't toveya him, he meant to give him a present. Because we see from this gemara in Eza Nesha, there's a concept that people are giving presents secretly. There's a concept that if you get extra money, you can attribute it to a present that he's giving you. So same thing, if someone lends you money and he doesn't collect, he does not toveya it from you, you can assume that he gave you a present. It's a beautiful halacha. The Shulchan Gibran says, the Shach on this in Siman Reish Lamed Beis where the Gemara is brought, he brings his the Shulchan Gibran and he concludes Tzorich Iyun B'zeh. It's a big Kiddush, you know, to say that it's a present. Why don't we say that he forgot it? Like it's because he didn't claim that it, that he gave you a present. But that's what Shulchan Gibran says. Now that's a good halacha to have in mind, that based on what we're talking about, if time has gone by and there's been no claim on the loan, so then according to Shulchan Gibran, you don't have to pay it back. Now there's three different
So
let's see what he means. There's three pshatim in what the Shulchan Gibran might mean. The Shach disagrees, whatever he means, the Shach disagrees. He's a Tzorich Iyun. So the Erech Shai, he says, there's no such thing to say that he meant that you're mochel the whole loan. He says that means that I'm giving you a present that I said I was going to come back in 30 days. I'm giving you a present. I'll let you keep it for another year. I'm going to give you extra time, but it certainly don't think that you can start spending the money now forever. And you're going to have to pay it back sooner or later. It hasn't been a mechila. It just means that the present is that he gave you extra time, and even that's a shach sarachim. Vimrei Bina says that it's a suffix. You can start saying maybe he gave you a present, but you certainly can't assume it. And if he dies, you'll have to pay his yarish and the money, because you have to pay back your debt as long as he's alive. And he wasn't toveya you, he didn't claim the money yet. You can attribute it to a present, and you don't have to go run after him. The Shari Mishpat says that he understands that the Shulchan Gibran is saying that we assume that he's mochel alone, and if he ever comes back, he could say, look, I'm sorry, I assumed you were mochelit. And the Shach disagrees with it, but those are the three ways of understanding the Shulchan Gibran. The first two are saying, for sure you have to pay him back eventually. It's just a shaila. Did he give you an extra time? Or maybe it's a suffix. Until he's surveyor, you don't have to pay. You can just hold on to it, because maybe he will end up being mochel. And then the third pshat is Shai Mishpat's pshat, is that you can, according to the Gibran, he was mochelit, and the Shach holds he wasn't mochelit. Pitzchei Choshen wants to suggest a fourth pshat. He wants to say that it's talking in a case like we said, where you see him all the time, and he doesn't say anything about the loan. So you can assume that he just decided to give you a present. They bring other cases that suppose he even asked you to borrow money sometime, he didn't bother collecting, or he became poor and you're rich and he doesn't get the money back, so then you can assume that he's malchut. But if you have any reason to suspect that he forgot about the loan, so then certainly you're chayv to pay him. So this is the first thing we have, chiddush from the Shulchan Gibran, that if he doesn't claim you, he doesn't demand the payment, there's a possibility to say that he meant it as a present. What type of present is very nebulous what the present is over here. Not such a strong sign. The present doesn't mean a delay or a suffix. And if the Shach disagrees, whatever it is, So it's not such a useful pattern to rely on, but it's something to remember. All the Pesukim bring down the same Meshilta Gibarim that says that if he wasn't Taveya, you can consider it a present to some extent. But then there's another issue. There's a famous Ketzos. There's a Beis Yosef that says, brings from Rishonim, that if you owe a lot of different people money, and they went away to Medina Siyam, they're not in town anymore, and there's one in town and he wants the money from you, so, and you don't have enough money to pay everyone. If they were all here, you'd have to divide it up to give each one the share. We'll talk about that in the future also.
Several loans, several
different loans to different people. But the other people are out of town, and there's only one over here right now. So the Beis Yosef says, you're allowed to give it, you should give the money to this person that's here, and the others, you don't have to worry about that. The Bach asks on him, but what happened to, why don't you have to hold the money aside for the others? They deserve money also. So the Ketzos gives also a big Kiddush that everyone talks about. He says, well, let's read the Ketzos inside. It's in Kuf Dalin, Sukkot and Beis. We're talking about money, we're not talking about real estate. So there's no lien on the property, it's just metaltalin. So there's no lien on it. Why do you have to give this money up? Because you have to do a mitzvah. You have a mitzvah to pay back loans. There's a mitzvah to pay back loans. So in case, if that's the case, if the malva doesn't claim the money, you're no longer have a mitzvah to pay your loan. That it says in Siman Ayin Gimel that if you make a shvuah, you told me that I had to pay back the loan in a year. I made a shvuah, I'll pay you back in 30 days. The halacha there is, I don't have to keep that shvuah if you don't pay me back, if you don't claim it from me within those 30 days. If you don't claim it, I can just go back with the original plan for a year. So you see how halacha is, that I have no mitzvah to pay back unless you're Taveya. That's what the Ketzos learns from there. So, in kind of that's the case, right now, today, when this Reuven came to me and he lives in where I live and he asked me for the money, so I have a mitzvah to pay him today. The person that went across seas, overseas, I don't know, he gives my mitzvah, his mitzvah didn't come yet. I have a mitzvah to pay you right now. I have to take care of this mitzvah, and I don't have to worry about another mitzvah coming back. And he brings the famous Radvaz that if they give you someone's in jail and they gave them a choice to fast one day, so he says or daven one day. He says daven this day with a minyan rather than wait for Yom Kippur, because right now you have a mitzvah today. Mitzvah today to wait. Who knows what's going to be 3 months from now, 5 days from now, 2 days from now. Right now you have a mitzvah, you're going to come out. So the Ketzos says, same thing over here. Right now you have a mitzvah to pay this person who's asking you for the money, for his loan. There's other people that are going to ask you later. Right now they're not here. You worry about that later. Same thing with the person who's in jail. He's only allowed one day. Once he gets this day, he's not going to get any future days, but the halacha, as the Rabbah says, take that day when he has opportunity. Right now you have his mitzvah. So the same thing over here. Right now you have this loan to pay this one, and the other one's not here right now. So here the Ketzos is also seeming to say an unbelievable chiddush, that if you are not, if the malva doesn't ask you to pay, there's no mitzvah for you to pay. But it is limited to metatlin. If there's a lien on the property, so then there's a lien. So it's like he owns it to some extent. So you have to give it back to him. That's certainly if there's a lien, but if there's a metatlin, it's an oral loan, and even if it's a written loan, all you have is movable objects, but there's no lien on them. So the Ketzos seems to be saying, he says, that there's no mitzvah to pay. The obligation, there's no obligation to pay. It's not like we would always think, if I owe money, I have to pay. The same thing if, if someone steals or someone... So he has to pay back the gzeira. If someone's a shomer and there's something happened, he has to pay back for whatever pshia he did, or gneva veda if he's a shomer sachar. But by halva, it's not like that. There's no obligation that I have to pay back. There's a mitzvah to pay when you're claiming. If you don't claim, I am not obligated to pay you at all. That's what the Tos seems to be saying. Everyone disagrees. And the Sivas on the spot says, Vagai, Avshal Malva Shocheach. If the Malva forgot, Veina Tovei, and he doesn't claim you, Chai Lefro, you can't say, well, look, he forgot, I don't have to pay. Certainly you have to pay. I, how about the Raya from the Shvua that Tos brought from Simon Ayin Gim? Well, that, there it's different, he says, because when you have a Shvua, that's when we assume you made the shvua, and I really have a year to pay you. I decided that I'm going to be nice and make a shvua, I swear that I'll pay you back within 3 months. But I had in mind that I meant 3 months if you ask for it. If you don't ask for it, that means we're going back to plan A, which gave me the whole year. But you don't see from there that when we have plan A, that you said, pay me within a year $1,000, and then you don't claim me the money that I don't have to pay you. Right there, the case of shvua was, on my own, I decided to be nice and make a shvua that I'll swear that I'll pay you back sooner. So if you don't ask for the money, so I'm not obligated. That's what Simon Ayin Gimel says. But to say that if we made an original deal, I could pay you back in a certain time, and you don't claim you that I'm not, I have to pay you. That's unbelievable chiddush. So Nesivos disagrees with the Ketzos on that. Now, some Achronim, the Marsham, the Shari Mishpat wants to say that the Ketzos and the Nesivos are arguing whether the Shulta Givarim is right. But the Shulta Givarim also seems to say that if you're not claimed, you don't have to pay the money. We assume that he's mochel it. The bottom line was, if he doesn't ask the money, you don't have to pay. So that Ketzos seems to be supporting Shulta Givarim and against the Nesivos. And Marsham asks, why didn't they bring down the Shulta Givarim? But contemporary poskim, Mishpat Atori says it, and Tetzri Chosh, I think, also says it's chiluk. So they say very simply, it's simple, that we're talking about two different issues here. I even have them on the handout. There's two different, we're dealing with two different issues. The first issue, the Shulta Givarim, was, can I say that if you don't claim, make a claim for me, that you've decided to give me a present? And that was the Shulta Givarim's chiddush, and he held that you can assume it's some form of present. We had these different shakim there, Shari Meibin, Shari Mishpat, how to understand that present. But he said that that's a present if you don't claim it. Now suppose I know in my mind that he didn't give me a present. Like the Gemara says, he's someone who doesn't give presents, and he didn't steal from me. I know that he just forgot. He's very forgetful. So the Shulta Givarim certainly would say that if he forgot about it, you have to pay him. His whole chiddush was that if a certain amount of time goes by, or the way the first one to say, if you have reason to believe that he decided not to demand a payment, he wants to give you a present. You know, if he became your son-in-law or something, and you know you don't want to collect from him anymore, something happened that you can assume that he's giving you a present, so you don't have to pay him back. That's the Shulta Givarim's chiddush. But once again, if it would be clear that it's not a present, you'd have to pay him back. The Ketzos is saying, even if it's, you have no reason to believe it's a present. It's not a present. He forgot about it. The Ketzos is saying, nevertheless, you don't have to pay him back because the only reason you have to pay back a loan is because there's a mitzvah to pay back a loan. And that mitzvah doesn't take effect until the lender asks you for the money. The Nativa says there's no such halacha like that. And, you know, there's a mitzvah to pay back a loan, even if he doesn't ask you for it. So, based on that, the Mishpat HaTorah concludes that, like, bottom line, someone lent you money, and you know he's very forgetful, and he forgot to ask you for it. Do you have to pay him back or not? Do you have to pay him back? You know he forgot, so you have to pay back. So, according to the Ketzos, you don't have to. Right? Ketzos says you don't have to, because you only have a mitzvah, let's say it's metaphor, you only have a mitzvah to fulfill a mitzvah of paying back a loan when he makes a claim. But if he didn't make a claim, you don't have to. However, the Nesivos disagrees, everyone disagrees with the Ketzos' chiddush, and the Shulta Givarim also disagree, because the Shulta Givarim only said his svara when you have reason to think it's a present. Right? If you have reason to think it's not that he forgot, you think that he's giving you a present. So Shulta Givarim said, like, if it took so long, you can assume that he gave you a present. But if you know it's not a present, he doesn't like you, he's not giving you a present. and you just know you forgot about it, the only thing you have in your pocket to get out of paying is the ketos, and he's certainly a das yochid in all of this. And the Mishmei Torah concludes that you certainly will have to pay back that loan. That's his conclusion in the first half of the shiur, that we're not talking statute of limitations yet, just the fact that he didn't claim the money, didn't ask you for the money yet, there's no reason for you not to pay back the loan, except according to the Ketosus, the Das Yochid, and all the folks can disagree with him on that.
Question?
You know, you send me your lawnmower. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Gnei Mishra Siddin also, okay. But in the right, it's not the Gnei Mishra Siddin. They say the Das Yochid, because you can't bring in the Shulchan Gibran, even if the Shulchan Gibran was someone that would support him, so that would help a little bit. You know, so maybe you have something to rely on. Because, look, I'm poor, he's rich, and, you know, I did him a big favor, so maybe that's why he's not claiming. I have reasons that he might want to give it to me. So that's a Shulchan Gibran svara. But if I know there's no such reason that he wants to give it to me as a present, it's a simple thing that he forgot about, he's forgetful. So I have no right to keep the money, I have to return it to him, even though he didn't claim it. Everyone disagrees with Shulchan Gibran also, but I thought if we could at least put the two together, Mishmei Torah says you can't put them together because he's a Das Yochid in that. And if certainly if you know that he forgot, you have nothing to put together and you have to pay. What I am saying is there's reason to think that maybe he meant it as a present and maybe it is worth asking a Shaila, but you don't have to go be such a good guy and give back the money right away and embarrass yourself or embarrass him. If there's a good chance that he meant it as a present and he's not being so value, so now you have the Ketos, you have the Shulchan Gibran, at least according to the way the Shaila Mishpat understands it. Certainly the best thing would be to ask him, do you mean this as a present or here's the money, and also, oh, don't worry about it. Right, that'd be the best thing to do. But in cases where you can't, you know, he's in jail, or, you know, it's too hard to do it. So there is the Shulchan Gibran, and there is the Ketos. Halacha Maisa, Lamaisa. You know, the Mishmei Torah is saying, in most cases, you're going to have to pay back the loan, even though he didn't ask you for the money, because we don't agree with the Ketos. You are responsible to pay back a loan because you owe it to him, not only because he asked you for it back. That's the Maskan in that issue. Okay, so but Lamaisa is, once again, I don't want everyone to leave and say that, well, you didn't tell me, I can keep it, and you still have to pay back your loan. We're only saying, if there was a reason to think that he gave it as a present, so we had the Shulchan Gibran along with the Ketos, who says that there's never a mitzvah to pay back, but each is a Das Yochid in its own right, and certainly if it's just that he forgot it, you have to pay back the loan, there's no shaila about that. The last part, though, statute of limitations, suppose it's now 40 years later, 50 years later, does that add anything to the equation? So the Mishnah Ksuvah says like this. The Mishnah is talking about, you know, there's an obligation for the heirs of a husband to pay his wife the her ksuvah. So Kozma Shiva Vesivya, and there's two choices where she could be living after he dies. She could be still go back home to her parents' house, or she could be living with the children, with her children, his children, whether they had it from her, but she could be living in his house still. So the Mishnah says like this, Kozman Shiva Vesivya, as long as she's in her father's house, this is what the Tana Kama says, Govik Sivasuva, she could collect her ksuvah forever. Kozman Shiva Vesivya, but if she stays in her husband's house, so then, Gavak Ksuvas Adesim Chameshonu, she only has 25 years to collect the Ksuva. Why? She Yesh Bechapeshonim Shetat Tetzava Kenek Ksuvasa, because we assume that in those 25 years, living with the heirs, they gave her different handouts, that in the course of 25 years, that paid off the Ksuva. Dinir Ameh Hashem 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 Kozman is the other way around. Kozman, she pays by well, as long as she's in her husband's house, go to the boss of her own, she could collect her ksuba forever. Kozman, she pays avia, as long as she's in her father's house, go to the ksuba side, esim chameshonim, she only could collect for 25 years. After that time, you assume she's been mochel, the chov. Why don't we assume it when she's in the husband's house? That's because since she's living with them, we have another reason to say why she didn't ask for the ksuva. That's because she's living, it's uncomfortable to ask. She wasn't mochel, she just didn't want to rock the boat while she was in there with him. But if she's at her father's house, she has nothing to lose. Why didn't she ask for the ksuva? So we assume that after 25 years, a person has the mocho, the chob. So it seems that we have a precedent to say that there is a statute of limitations after 25 years, because we see that, unless it leads to some otherwise, after 25 years, she has the mocho, her ksuva. However, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara goes back and forth, what's the case? Finally, the Gemara concludes, Shalosh Yav Nachman sent back, the Shane Shtar Ksuva Yasa Mitachav Yoda Machlokas. The Machlokas in between Rav Meir and the Chachonim is talking where she doesn't have a Ksuva in her hand. Have a Shtar Ksuva Yasa Mitachav Yoda. If she's holding onto a Ksuva, Gova, if she has a Shtar, Gova Ksuvasa Gova, she can collect it forever. So Halachas, if she did a Chachonim, and Halachas like the Chachonim. So in other words, it comes like out like this. If she has a Ksuva, she has the documents, she certainly can collect. She didn't mean to be malchus. She knows she can rely on this document that she has. If she doesn't have one, so then if she's in her father's house, so then after 25 years, we can assume that she's forgiven the loan, forgiven the ksula. Now, how does this apply to, does this halacha apply to a regular loan? So Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Siman Tzadi Ches, Sif Aleph, and also Samach Aleph, Sif Ches. He says, "Say the gviyas hachov kachlo." This is the way you collect the debt alone. Shama kishamavu masi shtar chov mekuyim. When the maver produces a verified shtar chov, onen alova shalim. He tells the lover to pay. Afilu shah kana shanim. Even if it was many years, the lotov and he didn't demand the payment. Ein onen machala. We don't say he forgave it. Kiyem shashal kol kach shanim. Since he waited so many years, for lotov. Even if he had years, and he said, I'm writing this one off. That years doesn't count. We'll talk in maybe even next week, but certainly in future weeks, we'll talk about what it takes to be mochel alone in actuality. Here he just said, I'm never going to get that money from him. That doesn't mean, that's not years. You can still collect it. And the Smart explains, the Gemara said that under certain circumstances, by the Ksuva, we say she has forgiven it after 25 years. So that he says is because he thinks Mar Bababak. So that's because by Ksuva there's a special kula that since the husband gave her a special share to be with the children, so there we say she's mokal the Ksuva by her quiet indicates a mechila. By a regular Bakov we don't have such a svara. And besides that, most of if we're talking about Bakov, if he has a shtar, even by Ksuva it doesn't help. And if he doesn't have one, so then you could always say parati. But anyway, this halacha of the cause is old. Just the fact that it's old should be a proof that there was mechila. There's no such halacha like that. Only it's by yeksuva in a limited case. However, it's if Beis Shulchan Aruch says this is based on the Shuvas Harash. Suppose you do have this 50-year-old shakol that's being produced in court, and they say they want their money from it. A dayan has to investigate very well when there's a good old star. Shemotino saw when they're producing an old star. This is yara already. Why are you waiting now until now to claim it? To see if there's any trickery going on there. To make sure that it comes out. If he says, look, I lost it and I just cleaned my attic, I found it now. So then that could be a good dayan. But you can see by his answer that you know, he looks like beady eyes or something. It looks like he's trying to cheat you. So then you don't have to pay. The Nesiva says, "Haminig she'en govin b'shtar yoshan miyarshim." He says the minig in his times was that you don't use an old shtar to collect from yarshim. Right, that's already a little fishy. You know, he has his old piece of paper. He collects from the yarshim. Your father borrowed this 70 years ago, and he never paid me back. I have the shtar. Can you pay me? You know. Why are you waiting for him now? He's not here anymore to tell us what happened. You know, we can't rely on that. So then Siva said the minig is not to rely on that. And also, Roman Emanuelitan Parati. And also, he says I paid you back, that even though normally Parati doesn't work against the star, only a Ksav Yadu works against, but if it's such an old star, then Siva says the minig is, even though it's not the halacha, but the minig is that you can say, I paid back already.
And that's without a
shavuot. Without a shavuot, he's never going to say parati. Mishpat Uziel, it's a Svarish apostle from 100 years ago, he says, I never saw this minig anywhere. He says his minhag was only in where the nesivos lived in his time, but everywhere else I haven't read about it, I haven't seen about it. There's no such minhag. There's no such thing as his siyashnus. There's no such thing as statute of limitations. The fact that the star is old doesn't mean anything unless there is a minhag. But that Tzvi Choshen says that, you know, we can't use dina machlus adina over here. But if people are used to saying after a certain amount of time loans are bottle, so then it becomes like a minhag. And when I lend the money, it's like a condition that if I don't claim within 25 years, 50 years, so then it's bottle. The Maisa, it's hard to hear that should be a minhag, because how often is it, you know, who, you know, we're not, most of us aren't that old to have seen this take place. You know, I have a shot 50 years, and I know that, you know, the guy didn't collect from me after 50 years, so when I lent it to you 50 years ago, I meant that also that if I wait 50 years, I won't claim you. It's hard to hear such a minhag. So, reviewing what we learned tonight, when you have this 40-year-old star facing you now, after, you know, unexpected 25 years, the Gemara said was already a long amount of time. So, first of all, we had the Shilta Gibarim, we had this Bichidish, the fact that he wasn't so veya you, means that it's the present, but we said that's a very limited application. It could be he only meant the delay amount of time, or he meant it's the present until he decides to be Toveya you. Once now he is Toveya you, you can't consider it a present anymore. And besides the fact the Shach disagreed with whatever Shilta Gibarim was saying. Then we tried introducing the Ketosis finish to say that there's no obligation to Veya alone if he doesn't ask you for it, because it's only a mitzvah. He hasn't, there's no lien, there's no other obligation to pay, other than the fact that he asked you. You have to fulfill the mitzvah of giving him his money back, and as long as he doesn't ask you, there is no mitzvah. However, we saw there also, most of the poskim disagree with that kiddush. They hold there's always a mitzvah to pay back alone, even if he doesn't ask you. And the Shilta Gibarim is no support to the ketos, because he wasn't saying that there's no mitzvah to pay if you're not asked. He was saying that after a certain amount of time, that he gave it to you as a present, but not that he said that there's no mitzvah to pay until you're asked. The last defense you might have is, well, it took so long, there's statute of limitations already, we could assume that by now he's been mochler, so that we see from the Gemara in Ksuvos, even though by a woman and a man in a certain circumstance there is a statute of limitations after 25 years, it only applies in that limited case. But in a normal case of a loan, if someone has a shtar, chov, it's a clear document, it's verified, certified, it's a good shtar, it's not forged. So he can correct with it, according to the Shulchan Aruch, many years later. There's no statute of limitations. However, there is this caveat that the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Bei says, if the dayan has to be careful, make sure that no monkey business is going on. Why did he take so long? Ask him questions. Normally he wouldn't ask questions to try to be, you know, judges don't, dayan doesn't investigate. But here you have to investigate that maybe something fishy is going on when you see such an old loan. So in that case, try to see what's going on, and if there's fishy, you don't fear it to him. If it's not, so all we have left is the different nesivos of the minhag. There are other folks that I mentioned different minhagim in different places, but if you don't have a clear minhag in your place, it's hard to say that special limitations will make a difference, unless it is. Everyone knows after a year, a check is no good. So maybe that will be something. We'll talk about checks in the coming weeks also. If they didn't cash a check at that point, maybe that would be already a minhag people know about. So the next few weeks we're going to talk about what it takes to have a real mechila. We'll talk about what happens if they don't cash a check, and we'll be talking about bankruptcy, what the status of that is in halacha.